I know. Robin Williams says anybody who says they remember the 60s really wasn't there. I guess. So anyway. I love that song. It's got so much spirituality to it, you know, for real sense. And we talk about a variety of different spiritual concepts in this teaching, and there's an obvious reason for that. I mean, we don't have any religious rules to speak of. We don't have commandments and church doctrine that we're required to follow. We don't even have to be here every Sunday at church to feel connected with God. I'm trying to have that part changed, but, you know, that's... only kidding. We've got a very open attitude towards religion and spirituality here, which is why most of us are here. Instead of trying to become more spiritual so that we can please God as we were taught as children, we teach here that we are already as spiritual as we are ever going to get. Not only that, the power that we call God or Spirit knows this already, but we're the ones who have not yet figured it out. But no matter how balanced we become in our life, in our spiritual understanding, no matter how well we understand that we are spiritual beings first and physical beings second, we still spend the vast majority of our time dealing with all the little day-to-day issues that make up our life during the week. We eat, we sleep, we do our work, we deal with money, we deal with people, we talk about our children and the weather and what our neighbors are doing. And as a result, as the years go by, for many of us, our life starts to follow a fairly predictable pattern. In order to fit everything into our busy schedule, there's a tendency for us to put major portions of our life on automatic. Psychologists say 80% of our thinking during the given day is actually automatic. So we get into a schedule like waking up during the week, waking up at 6:30, walking or jogging a few miles or going to the gym, taking a shower, eat breakfast, get dressed, go to work, come home, check the email, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed. And we do that over and over again. It's a very efficient way to live, but it's not very exciting. The problem is when we've been doing things the same way for a number of years, it's not unusual for us to start feeling a little bit stagnant or even a little bit restless. Maybe our job doesn't challenge us as much as it did before. Maybe our relationship isn't as exciting as it used to be, or else we're tired of looking for a relationship because we keep running into the same kind of people everywhere we go. Even our old friends may not be quite as interesting to us as they used to be. We may somehow get the feeling that we have become separated from our own life, that we're just going through the motions and we're aware that we're not getting much fun out of it. Now, it isn't that our life is particularly bad or unpleasant or even worse than average. I mean, we may have a decent job, a nice home, enough money, all of those things. And it's not that we have this wild desire to jump into the fast lane either. I mean, those of us who have been in the fast lane know it can be just as boring, only faster. You know, we do that. You know, Lily Tomlin says, even if you're winning the rat race, you're still a rat. I like that. So all we're looking for is a little more substance in our life. We're looking for a little more of a connection with the world around us and with this inner something, this spiritual presence that we know is there. And we get a little glimmer of it every now and then. I mean, we don't necessarily want to run off and leave everything behind, the job, the kids, the house, the spouse, though some of us fantasize about that every so often. We just want to wake up in the morning with a little more fire in our belly and a little more passion in our heart for the day ahead. The interesting thing is, we know that there is a way for us to do this. We know there is a way for us to feel more alive because we have all felt it in the past when we fell in love for the very first time. How many people can remember that? Okay, second, third, fourth, anyway. When we bought our first house or bought our first car, when we got the first big promotion or our first job. I remember it was 30 years ago this year that I got the letter from Delta Airlines saying I was hired. I mean, I was walking on air for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, in some cases, this feeling lasts for a while, and for some of us, it doesn't last very long at all, but we would probably all agree that it's a wonderful feeling to have. However, as we started to get older and we start to get into a routine, we started making more and more choices based on things like security and common sense. We started believing what the world kept telling us over and over, that life is a serious business and we ought to take it more seriously. We started worrying about the bad possibilities that might happen instead of thinking about the good possibilities that we really wanted to experience. And in the process, we lost touch with something very, very important. We lost touch with the joyful part of our soul. We lost our connection with the powerful, passionate side of being alive, and we need to get it back. Now, the truth is, there's something in us that resonates when we feel that kind of passion in our life, when we feel that connection. And what that resonance is within us is our heart's recognition of the presence of spirit, the presence of life in us. And if we feel like we have lost that presence, that connection, or if we haven't felt it for a while, we definitely start to miss it. Because we lose touch with the joy that we ought to be feeling every day that we're alive. That's why today, what I want to talk about is how to jumpstart your life. Okay? If there's anybody who needs that, this is the place to be this morning. Now, to start with, as a part of our nature, each one of us has within us a life force. Each one of us has within us a spiritual energy that shows up in our consciousness as a desire to grow, as a desire to open up to the world. It's not just a desire to make more money or a desire to be more famous or a desire to get promoted, those kind of things. It's something much, much bigger and much, much deeper than that. It's a desire to expand our awareness beyond the limitations that we have picked up through the years, and to open up to new and more wonderful ways for us to experience life. Now, whether we realize it or not, this desire that is in us is not just a genetic thing. It is a divine urge. That's where the spirituality comes in. In fact, as some of you may know, the word enthusiasm comes from the two Greek words en and theos. En meaning within and theos meaning God. So enthusiasm is God within us. It's the irresistible force of life pushing to experience itself by means of us in greater and greater ways. And it's the most powerful indication that we have that our spiritual essence is the true driving force behind our physical experience. You see, no matter what is or is not going on in our life at any given time, we are always much more than we appear to be. We hear that in a lot of different places today. So if our life seems to be stuck in some dull, boring routine, it's never because it has to be that way, because life itself is never dull or boring, but the way we are living it certainly may be, the way we're looking at it certainly may be, and the way we think about it certainly may be. And when it is, when we're in that place, it can be very, very frustrating when we know that it's there, but we don't know what to do about it. We want to break out, but we don't know how we can release all the stuff that seems to be binding us. Now, none of us likes to be frustrated, but sometimes the way we deal with the frustration only makes things worse. I mean, every day we see intelligent people making some very foolish decisions just because they're not happy with the way their life is going. They walk away from a perfectly loving and supportive relationship. They quit a perfectly good job that they used to love and used to enjoy. They abuse their health, anesthetizing themselves with drugs and or alcohol, all because of what they are not getting out of life, which is passion and excitement. It's something we all want. What they fail to realize frequently is that you can't get out of life what you don't put into it. That's a very basic metaphysical law. If we want passion out of a relationship, we need to put passion into it. If we want excitement out of the work we do, we need to put excitement into the job. That's why someone said about work, I think it was Bear Bryant, remember the old Alabama football coach? He was talking about work and he said, if you are not fired with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm. Okay? You know? I mean, it's a very sad revelation when someone realizes after the fact that they have destroyed everything good in their life and that their problem wasn't in their marriage or in their job, it was in them. In other words, they caused major problems for themselves looking for something that was right in front of them all the time, all the time. When our life appears to be in a rut, and we know what that feels like. Sometimes all we need is, we don't need to change everything. All we need is a little bit of a jump start, just like we do with a perfectly good car that has a dead battery. I mean, most of the time, if the car won't start, it's because we forgot something. We forgot to turn off the lights, though I date myself because most cars now, that's not a problem. But there are other things that we do that allow the car to just sort of drain itself. Whatever it was, we were draining the battery without recharging it. And now it doesn't have enough energy to do what it's supposed to do, which is to get things started again. So what should we do if the battery is dead? Well, we can wash the car, but that's probably not going to help, okay? We can put gas in it, but that's not going to help either. So it's not just about doing something or anything. We have to do the intelligent thing. That's why we hook the battery up to a power source and we recharge it. We don't have to get rid of the car. In most cases, we don't have to replace the battery. Once it's recharged, we're back in business, at least until we screw things up again. Now, in some respects, that's what we do to ourselves when we run around like crazy all the time without reconnecting to our spiritual energy source. We drain our spiritual battery, and that's what this feeling is when we feel like we're stuck and we aren't moving anywhere. I mean, I'm always running into people who show up here maybe on Sunday or in class, and I haven't seen them for 6 months or a year, and they say that the reason that they came back is that they felt drained. They felt drained. They came back to get in touch with what they know to be the power, the true power, the energizing power in their life. Of course, they don't have to come here to get in touch with that power. They know that, and I know that. But doing something consciously and deliberately, like coming here on Sunday morning, or going to a class, or getting back to a personal schedule of prayer or meditation, that tells their consciousness that they're serious. It tells their consciousness that they need to deliberately connect, and they're aware of that. They need to connect with the source of their being so they can get themselves and their life energized again. Now, if we want to know what kind of spiritual power is naturally ours to use, we can look at our physical body, all right? All we have to do is to look at the way that our body is designed, the way it functions, all the different parts and the systems that all work together, all the ways that our body keeps itself energized, in balance, and restores itself. I mean, this is not just a well-designed machine. It is the one life force that creates all of life, using physical materials to allow it, life, to interact with this incredible physical world. That's what our body is. It's designed this way so we can hug, so we can see beauty, so we can hear music like Bernardine, so we can enjoy and experience life. And our body is controlled by a mind that has the power to choose not only how we act or react physically, but how we respond to the world mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it all works together. Everything here works together to do one thing and one thing only, which is to express life creatively, because life, if it is properly lived, is a creative activity. Life is an energetic experience. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, we all know what would happen if our body stopped moving, and I don't mean if we died. I mean if we just stopped in one place and stared straight ahead and didn't move, like a couch potato, you know, that kind of thing, okay? Our muscles would shrink, our waistline would expand. Our blood wouldn't circulate very well. Our strength and our energy would be gone in a matter of weeks or months. And we'd end up having all sorts of physical problems because our body is designed to move. Movement is the way that our body maintains and restores its energy. It's the same with the way we use our mind. A stagnant mind is just as destructive to our mental and spiritual well-being as a stagnant body is to us physically. So if we find ourselves living a life without passion or living a life without enthusiasm, then we can be very sure that the energy of life is slowly but surely draining out of us faster than it's coming in. Now, that may not kill us, but it won't let us feel very alive either. And the real danger is that we may end up only half alive and not even know it, with just enough energy to wake up and to get through the day, but not enough energy to make the day worth living. And we can be in that place for a long time. We can be in that place until we die. I think a lot of people are in that situation. The truth that we need to know about ourselves is that we are, metaphysically speaking, at the focal point between heaven and earth, between the invisible and the visible, right here where we are. We are the point of power that turns spirit into form and experience. We are the only ones who can decide how powerfully and beautifully life is going to express itself wherever we are. So if where we are doesn't seem all that interesting or exciting, that's not because life isn't interesting. It's because that's all of life that we are letting through. I mean, when we're dragging our body through the busy day, wondering why life is such a struggle, somebody right across the street may be dancing to work, whistling when they hop in their car and go to where they're going to be. Not because they've got a more interesting job or relationship, but because they understand that the joy of life has to come through them before it comes to them, and they're letting it do just that. Once we decide just start to open up just that little bit, it isn't the size of what we're doing or the scale that's important. I mean, we could be building a worldwide corporation, a big business, or we could be planting a garden in our backyard. We could be volunteering to travel to other countries with the Red Cross. We could be building a lifelong relationship with a child or a spouse or a partner. None of those is better than any other. The importance lies not in what the world thinks about what we're doing, but in how significant what we are doing is to us. Does it turn us on? That's what matters. We have to feel in here that we are creating something unique. We have to feel in our soul that there's a divine purpose in what we're doing. We have to have a vision that we believe in. We all have to have that. I mean, if we're only living life halfway, if we're putting in our time and our effort, but we're not putting in our love and our passion, we're going to know it and we're going to feel it. We will feel incomplete. We'll feel like we're spinning our wheels, and we all know what that feels like. Now, Michael Beckwith of the Agape Center, you've seen him on Oprah and The Secret and all that stuff. He's a religious science minister, just like us. Some people don't know that. He says we should stop living life on the layaway plan, where we use a little of it now and save the rest till later, all right? Our purpose in being here is to express life as much as we can, right where we are, all the time. And if we do that, we're not going to need a jump start because we are going to have more energy than we'll ever be able to use. You see, life is not a spectator sport. It is for players only. It really is. So if we just sit by passively and we watch the world go by, we're going to be like a car that's been parked in a garage for a year or so. Our battery will go dead, but it won't matter because we're not going anywhere anyway, you know? Life is just going to pass us by. Now, as I said, every one of us has something unique to contribute to the world, but we have to be an active part of the world in order to contribute our gift. We are this creative outlet for life, and if we dam up that outlet, it's not going to affect life at all. It'll just come out somewhere else, and the loss is going to be ours. Here's something else. Boredom and stagnation are not just about our behavior. It's not just about doing exciting things. If we feel stuck in a routine, it's not because life is routine. It's because we're stuck in the same old thought patterns that we've had for years. It's because we built this box for ourselves. We have a limited vision of what our life could be. We're tied down by our old mistakes, old behaviors, old relationships, and we have gotten into the habit of saying no whenever a new experience presents itself. So the question is, how hard is it to break out of that kind of a mindset? And the answer is, as hard as it is to change our mind, as hard as it is to just look a little bit beyond where we've been looking, as hard as it is for us to believe something bigger and more exciting than what we believed before. Now, there's a story I want to share with you briefly. It's a true story. Some of you may have heard a little bit about it. And it's about a man by the name of Eugene Lang, who was a successful multimillionaire entrepreneur who grew up very poor in the South Bronx, which is a very poor section of New York. Well, in his late 60s, actually he was 68, he had graduated from this school 50 years before, he was invited to speak to the 8th grade class that was graduating. They had 4 years of high school ahead of them from this same school. But he hadn't been back since graduation. And when he got there, he realized it was a very different place. Gangs, drugs, terrible poverty, metal detectors all over the school. 80% of the kids who graduated from 8th grade and started into high school at this school did not graduate. Very different from when he had been there. So there he was, he's facing 60 kids, some of them bored, some of them with their head down on their desk, who had nothing to look forward to but more of the life that they could see around them when they went home every single day. And he looked at these kids, and he looked at his notes, and he threw the notes away, and he said, "Listen up, this is my pledge. If you graduate, I will send you to college." That's all he said. Very, very simple. 4 years later, 58 of the 60 kids in this group graduated, and most of them went on to some of the best colleges in the country. Now, nice story, okay? We hear these stories a lot. But let's think about what this story means from a mental and a spiritual perspective. First of all, could these students have gone ahead and graduated without the promise that he made? Sure they could. Any of them could, all right? But it wasn't very likely. Instead, the vision that he gave them got into their heart. It jump-started their spirit. They were in the same school as they were in before. They had the same teachers. They had the same poverty around them and parents when they went home. But now their vision was different. Now their energy was different. What had been virtually guaranteed for them to be a life of hopelessness, a life of repeating old patterns, was transformed into a life of possibility by a single idea. Eric Butterworth says, "You're never further than a single idea away from all the wealth in the universe." We're never further than a single idea away from anything. Anything that we want to create. So this dream that they took on, this greater idea, didn't come from him. It came through him. But what was important was the response to that idea. And the response was inside each one of those children. It was there all the time. He just helped them to see it. You see, the difference between dreams and goals is this. Goals are left-brain ideas. Goals are logical, rational, and measurable. They give us direction, but they will never give us inspiration. But dreams come from our imagination. They're right-brain ideas. They come from the same side of the brain, the feminine side, that controls passion and emotion and love. So a goal is in our head, but a dream is in our heart. So the way for us to create a life that is filled with joy and passion and satisfaction is to make sure that we are using that part of our brain, to make sure that we are using all the power available to us to place our dreams right in the center of our consciousness and to move forward towards them with every step we take. Now, nature shows us how to do this everywhere we look. Any dandelion can grow through a concrete sidewalk. You can see it in the city every day. Any acorn can rise from the forest floor to become an oak tree 100 feet tall. And they both do it for the same reason. Even though they were in the darkness, the light draws them upward. The light they know is there, but they have never seen. Their inner desire to live in the sunlight that they know is there excites them, it stimulates them, it energizes their growth, and it gives them a lifelong purpose. That is how we need to live. We need to allow the excitement of the world to draw us forward. We need to allow the beauty of our dreams to become our vision. And the good news is, if we do that, we'll never have to force ourselves to make it through another day, because the passion that our dreams inspire in us will always be there to carry us through. And this teaching will show you how to do it. I promise you. And if you haven't found that out yet, stick around. You will. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. We just shared some ideas. They resonate in me, they resonate in you, because we are one and the same at the spiritual level. Take the ideas that resonated with you, even the ideas that pushed your buttons, and keep them for yourself. I give them to you freely. And let's know this. Let's know that life is an incredible experience. The possibility, all the things that we can see and hear and taste and touch and smell, all of the places that we could be, all of the amazing people that we can connect with, all of the love that we are capable of giving and receiving, all of the things that we can create from our own ideas, all of the things that we can bring into our experience, all the beauty, all the joy, all of these things are there for the taking. Life is a gift. We are a gift. Everything in our consciousness is a gift that has been given to us simply by nature of being here. We are not individual beings. We are life's desire to express. And as we begin to see ourselves as this, our consciousness is raised. We transcend the old individual life that existed in the world, and we become a part of the one life that exists everywhere. We stop focusing on the external, and we begin to feel what is inside. We feel that sense of life. We do this through prayer, where we consciously connect with God. We do it through dreaming, where we consciously connect with parts of our consciousness that are frequently asleep. We do it when we love. When we touch those we love, when we spend time with people we love, when we give love to people who may not even ask for it or deserve it. That is the power we have. Everything we want to create can be created from within. The world is ready to take form in front of us. The path is ready to form beneath our feet. So as we recognize this and accept it, we go back within. We go back within to recognize that what is in me and what is in you is one and the same. So I invite you now, in the silence of your own heart and mind, to feel that sense, to feel that tiny seed of passion that is within you in whatever part of your life you choose or in every part of your life, and to hold that seed and nurture it and to feel it begin to grow. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept the presence of life, of spirit, of God in, as, and through us. We accept all that the world gives to us, and we give thanks for all that we are able to give. Knowing this, this becomes our new way of thinking and being, our new way of living, loving, laughing, praying, our new way of being present. And as we know this and accept it, we release this knowledge into consciousness, this feeling, we release it there, knowing that this is becoming our new and greater experience moving forward. Nothing can stop it. We're on our way. And so it is.